Welcome to the Whole Indie Show, your home for your weekly slice of indie goodness.
So it's natural that I ask myself, is this a risk I'm willing to take? And the answer, absolutely.
If you know something about me, you know that I am trying to change the wave of the future.
Jesus was ashamed when he did things on the cross.
Innocence, once lost, can never be regained. Darkness, once gazed upon, can never be lost. All things truly wicked start from innocence.
Because I want to see you, see me, smash her. Come and play.
What I want is Bryan Danielson's head on a stick.
This is my challenge to everybody on the independent scene, and that's to thrive. Thrive to be the best in the world.
With your hosts, Sandro Latelpa. And Ashley Richardson.
I knew we'd tear the fucking roof off.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to a new episode of the Whole Indie Show as we get closer and closer to crazy. I can't even say crazy fortnight. Crazy. What's a 3 week period known as? Do you know, Sandra?
Yeah, a long weekend.
3 weeks. That's a long ass weekend if it's 3 weeks long. the ultra long weekend. Yeah, let's call it that, actually, because that fits. Because obviously next week we've got the New York craziness, week after we've got Bola, and the week after is King of Trios. The 3 weeks of hell for us here. But since we last broadcast, although technically it would have been during last week's recording, Sandro got older. But his birthday present was a Fantastic Four movie, so I apologize.
No, I didn't want to watch that. I didn't see that.
No, but I did. I did see it.
Why?
I was interested to see how bad it was. And it's not atrocious. It's just, it essenced Fox making it just because they didn't want to lose the license. That's all it did. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk some wrestling, because it'll probably be the lead story every week. Shikara is starting to announce the King of Trios matches for the first round. Three have been announced this week. Earlier on in the week, we had confirmation of match one, which was the United Nations of Azerbaijan, JFC, and the Proletariat Board of Moldova taking on Team Attack Pro of Pete Dunne. I think it's Attack Pro. Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, and Flash Morgan Webster. And then confirmed during the Journey into Shikara show, which, spoilers, if you're watching it on Saturday, we're sort of ruining it. Crown and Court, comprising of Princess Kimberly and Los Ice Creams, will be taking on the Arcane Horde of Oleg, Kodama, and Oberyn. And the BWO of Big Stevie Cool, Hollywood Nova, and Da Blue Guy have got a pretty easy first round match because they're taking on the Devastation Corporation. I think the BWO might be. If the BWO beat the Devastation Corporation, I will be shocked. Those are the only three matches announced so far, but all the rest will be over the next few weeks and will be here providing you with the info. No more names added to the Rey de Voladores, by the way. I guess because they're waiting to see what happens in terms of this weekend's show, which we'll get to later. Now, speaking of this weekend, and we're mentioning it here because we don't have a huge amount of info on it, but Nova Pro Wrestling are having their debut show in Orlando, Florida at the Northwest Community Center, entitled Genesis. Is that, considering what TNA did to that name, is that a good name for a show? I don't know. Some of the talent listed include Santana Garrett, Aaron Epic, Rhett Giddens, and Zach Monstar. No matches are confirmed as of recording. Tickets are from $10 to $20, $5 to $15 for children, ages 3 to 10. So, you know, if you're in the Florida area, it's a pretty affordable trip, I'd say. They're also going to be having a special meet and greet before the show starts at 7. The meet and greet starting at 6:30. Oh, sorry, the doors open at 7. Doesn't say when bell time is. I'm guessing like 7:45 or 8 o'clock. I'm not sure. But yeah, the meet and greet is at 6:30. Meet and greet tickets are additional $10. And you can see talent, including Santana Garrett, Jesus Rodriguez, and Larry Zbyszko will be there. So if you are in the Orlando area, go check it out. Unless you're a certain Hogan. In which case, no thank you. Just saying. Warriors of Wrestling have announced a few more names for its King of New York show in September. Adding to the 8 that we ran through last week, which I won't go through again. Apparently 9 and 10, because I guess they're going to be going in together. EYFBO with Angel Ortiz and Mike Drastic will be there. Sonny Kiss has also been named, Juba, Joey Ace, Frightmare. Now, they named Pinky Sanchez, but they haven't named him in the tournament, even though they have, but they haven't. Because they're saying there's two names left, but I'm not sure what's going on there. Oh, no, there is one addition, just looking at my notes. Abdul Nasir has apparently been injured, and so Mike Donovan will be taking Abdul Nasir's place. He was announced last week. In terms of other tournament stuff as well, PWX have started announcing their participants for their X16 show. It's a 2 to 3 night, it's a 3 night set of events, which coincidentally is exactly the same 3 days as Shikara's King of Trios. But from what I can tell, the actual competition, the X16, goes through the 5th and the 6th of September, and the 4th show will be a pure show, which from the last one that they did like in March, which was pretty well received, is talents that have never wrestled in PWX before. And yeah, it can be, you know, new people that have only just sort of started sort of thing, or it could be, you know, big names that are making their debut sort of thing. One of which, I'm guessing, is the first participant that they've announced for PWX's X16 shows. Former TNA talent Gunner. He'll be part of the event. The other 5 names confirmed. And this is proving to be a pretty good field that they've put together so far. And along with Gunner, we've got Cedric Alexander, Andrew Everett, Moose, Ricochet, and Trevor Lee. I don't know whether this is PWX. But more than likely, this is PWX's attempt to try and cash in on the Battle of Los Angeles sort of mix tournament. Basically, booking all the talents that aren't tag teams that are going to be at King of Trios. Probably. What's your make of that list for PWX and the talent announced so far for the King of New York talent, Sandro?
That sounds like a good lineup. So, you know, hopefully they'll do well.
Lucha Toronto have announced that they're having their second show. Same place as last time, the Royal Canadian Legion Hall in Etobicoke. Next weekend, it's a midday start time, I guess, because of certain things happening in New York involving slams during the summer. So far confirmed, Mr. 450, Shelly Martinez, Rich Swann, Ricky Reyes, Lince Dorado, and Los Bandejos, along with probably more to be announced. Although I will say that I'm pretty sure that's the same day as Smash, isn't it, as well? Next Sunday? That might explain why they're having to have it at midday. Because then Smash are like mid-afternoon, and then SummerSlam. So basically, if you're in Canada, you might be able to get 12 hours of wrestling, technically. If you think about it. If you go from Lucha Toronto to Smash to watching SummerSlam. That's going to be crazy. My God. Anyway, that's the news from me. Sandra, have you got some news?
Yeah, let's start off with AAW. They just officially launched their video streaming service, AAW On Demand. They added about, as of now, about 46 full shows on their streaming service. And if you sign up right now with the user code REDEFINED, you get your first 3 months for $4.99. That's a pretty good deal, and you go to their website, aawondemand.com. I think their regular price is about $8 a month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, $7.99 a month.
Yeah, so, you know, if you use the special code, REDEFINE, you get the first 3 months for about $5, which is a pretty good deal. And they have a... They put up a couple of good mix of shows. They added a couple of their first shows, a couple of shows from the last 4 or 5 years, and a few recent shows as well. So, you know, if you're interested, you know, definitely check it out. I would say it's definitely worth a try.
And they've also done the option of if you don't want to sign up, you can rent individual events for only $2.99 for a 48-hour period. Via the service, so you know, whether it be on your phone, your tablet, your computer, your laptop, or even on your Roku box, it's going to be all there.
Yeah, and the website that they're using, I believe, is the same website design that both CCW and AIW uses for their streaming services, which is, you know, right, not a bad option, you know, and wouldn't surprise me if maybe a few big independent promotions might take the same route if they would like to use their own streaming services. So, you know, it could happen within the next couple of years. Now, let's go to this other news bit that was going all over the interwebs last weekend. And this involves the Young Bucks. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was at a show in California. I think it was IWL, if I'm not mistaken, where I guess there was some segment where the Bucks are in the ring with a young kid and his father. And it turned out it was the kid's birthday. And I guess the father was like, you know, putting them over or whatever. And the Bucks responded by basically super kicking the guy's face. He's out. And then the kid's like, you know, is not too happy with what happened to his dad. So he decides to attack the Young Bucks. He actually, like, hit a straight punch to, I believe it might have been to Nick Jackson. And then he hit, like, a pretty good high kick to Matt. And then he started kicking both the Bucks. And it's just pretty funny seeing that image there. But they were selling it pretty well. And then the kid starts running the ropes, and as he's coming towards the Bucks just super kick him right in the face, which is hilarious. The crowd is going nuts. They weren't upset. They were like, they were just really surprised of what just happened, but at the same time, they were cheering for what the Bucks did. And there was some, you know, discussion on the interwebs all over.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, pretty much. Most people, you know, weren't too thrilled with what just happened. You know, some people were saying, "Oh, this could have went wrong. This kid could have gotten seriously hurt. If something had happened. Why would the parent allow this to happen? Why would the promoter allow this to happen?" And I'm like, look. Well, the original footage was showing from behind the kid. Basically, the kid looking at the Bucks. So you couldn't really tell if he was really hurt or not. And then I guess this whole segment got picked up by TMZ of all places. And the footage that was shown was a pretty good angle, so you can clearly see what happened. And obviously, you know, we're all wrestling fans, you know, we know what's what. And obviously, this kid was not seriously hurt. Obviously, he put his forearms up, so it pretty much the blows would hit his forearms, and that's pretty much what happened. And, you know, he sold it pretty well. But some people were still complaining, like, oh, you know, doesn't matter. This thing shouldn't happen. You know, this kid could have got seriously hurt. And, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously everybody involved practiced this whole thing to make sure, you know, this kid would not get seriously hurt. And
yeah, but this is the internet. Don't believe the internet.
I know, but it's just so fucking ridiculous when I'm seeing these comments. I'm just rolling my eyes. I'm like, come on, seriously? But the Bucks are just, you know, they're taking this whole thing and just having fun with it. You know, they're poking fun at the fans that are, like, I guess, disgusted by what happened, you know, in their own way. And I saw Nick Jackson, he took a screenshot of a discussion he had with some guy, and, you know, it was just hilarious. But I never thought I would see something like that happen. I mean, I'm not mad at anything. Excuse me. But at the same time, I'm not happy it happened, but it doesn't really bother me. You know, all in all, this was all for this. The kid had a good time. I mean, it was obvious. I don't know whose idea it was, but yeah. I'm not putting nobody at blame. At the end of the day, nobody was hurt. And this was just for this kid's entertainment. And that's pretty much what he got.
It's not like that time, at least according to the Colt Cabana podcast, when, you know, they super kicked one of their sponsors in after a New Japan show. Like a bar sort of afterwards. It's not like that. This is sort of like clearly a sort of plan thing rather than just they're drunk in a bar super kick sort of thing because they were begging for it and they were paying enough money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like everybody gets super kicked. I'm pretty sure, you know, everybody got super kicked at the Fremenda show because the PWG put the highlights of that up this week. Everybody that they super kicked at the show, I'm pretty sure they got authorization to do that. Admittedly, they were other wrestlers rather than, you know, just members of the public, but I'm pretty sure they sort of clarify things like that. You know, it was like this past weekend when I was watching some of the Rooster Teeth Expo panel stuff. They went through beforehand that Greg Miller would smash a sugar glass bottle over Gus's head. What they didn't know is that by chance it actually still sugar glass can still cut you. And so it was like, quick, get an EMT. Just for like a small cut or whatever. But yeah, it's all this stuff is planned. It's not like, you know, just randomly attack somebody. It's not like that classic clip on YouTube of La Parca knocking out that fan with a big right hook punch.
Hopefully at some point next week, I might get a chance to talk with them because they're going to be here for Five Borough next Thursday. And if I go to that show, I'll see if I can talk to them about the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah, that crazy weekend. Wow. More and more I think about it, the more and more I get petrified. Anyway, let's get quickly, because we've got a lot to go through, results for this past week. Starting off with New Japan, G1 Climax Day 12. So we're in Block B again here. We have Michael Elgin beat Yuji Nagata, so he's currently on 8 points. You know, as of where it stood here in the tournament. Carl Anderson beat Tomoaki Honma. That is loss number 17, I think. Loss number 16, sorry. Hiroki Goto beat Satoshi Kojima. Shinsuke Nakamura beat Yujiro Takahashi. And Kazuchika Okada beat Tomohiro Ishii. So, as of this point, Okada's on 10 points, but, and this is how close it is, Ishii, Nakamura, Goto, Anderson, and Elgin are all on 8 points. So, literally here, Elgin's got a chance of winning. This is awesome. Because nobody thought it would happen. So then, day 13, we bent back to Block A. Bad Luck Fale beat Kota Ibushi. The result meaning that Fale has no longer a chance of getting to the finals. Tetsuya Naito beat Tori Yano. Naito continued to assault Yano with a throat choke following the pin and then attacked the referee and cameraman as he left. Because, you know, he's a silver skull. Because that's a better gimmick than the one he's using. AJ Styles beats Hiroshi Tenzan. Togi Makabe beats Doc Gallows. And Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Katsuyori Shibata. Then the first of the two Kurikan Hall shows. So this is from Sunday, I believe. Yeah, from... Oh, wow, there was three Kurikan Hall shows. I'm pretty sure. That's right. Anyway, Sunday, day 14. Carl Anderson beats Michael Elgin. Yuji Nagata defeats Satoshi Kojima. Kazuchika Okada beats Yujiro. Nakamura wins over Honma, 17 in a row. And Hiroki Goto beats Tomohiro Ishii. Looking good for everybody in that, apart from Tomoaki Honma. So then we have day 15 from Tuesday. Tetsuya Naito loses to Doc Gallows, which actually rules Naito out. From what happens later in the show. Very much of an upset win here. Hiroshi Tenzan beats Katsuyori Shibata. With a submission which, it's worth noting, Shibata didn't tap out to. The ref had to call for a stoppage because Shibata passed out. Toru Yano beats Kota Ibushi in 50 seconds. Because Ibushi was trying to get a quick pin, but basically got caught off guard with a low blow and then a quick pin himself. So that was done quick. Blimey. Then we had AJ versus Bad Luck Fale, with both people on 12, both people on 10 points, sorry, and whoever wins being in a very strong position to be in a chance of topping the group, sort of thing. They did it very, very NWO style because Fale laid down but then kicked out at two. Eventually, it's AJ Styles who gets the win with feet on the ropes. So the heel is being heel to the heel. Confusing. But afterwards, it seems like they've cooled down. But I don't know whether this is sort of teases to the end of the Bullet Club. I don't know. So Styles goes to 12 points. And then the main event saw Hiroshi Tanahashi beat Togi Makabe with a high fly flow, which means Tanahashi's on 12 points. So the winner of Tanahashi Styles on the show this coming Friday, which we'll preview later, will be the group winner. Which is sort of ironic, of course, because that does mean that that does mean we have a rematch of sorts from, was it last, it was last year, and it didn't happen at, no, it didn't happen at, well, it's happened quite a few times, hasn't it? Styles Tanahashi over the last 12 months. Because I think the first major time was, wasn't it the third, fourth place sort of playoff thing that they described it as last year?
Yeah.
During the final at the big Saibu Dome place?
Yeah.
It's worth noting that Kobashi, I'm guessing that's Kenta Kobashi, was on commentary throughout the show, but Kobashi and Tana shook hands at the end. And, you know, it's always nice to see one of the sort of veterans congratulating a current star. So then finally, day 16, this past Wednesday. Quite a bit of stuff. Quite a lot of confrontation between loads of people. Basically, like Tanahashi and Styles, Makabe and Ibushi, and Tenzan and Naito, because they'll face each other on the next show on the Friday. But Block B has got what comprised of most of it. Karl Anderson versus Yujiro Takahashi. Sort of, again, Bullet Club couldn't be on the same page, but then reconciled because Mao-chan, who I guess is the Yujiro's woman, shall we say. Anderson was very interested in her, and Yujiro, I guess, didn't appreciate it. But either way, it was Anderson getting the win with the gun stun. Hirooki Goto beat Michael Elgin, which, I, considering that they've just confirmed that's going to be a rematch, isn't it? For, is it Field of Honor or is it the TV tapings?
I'm sorry, who is it again?
Elgin and Goto.
Oh yeah, it's announced for Field of Honor.
For the Field of Honor show. I didn't know whether the title's going to be on the line there. I mean, unlikely, but you never know. Shinsuke Nakamura beat Satoshi Kojima with the Boma Yay. Okada beat Nagata with the Rainmaker. And then the main event. And I must say, this was something that it seemed like it would never happen the way it was going. After 18 attempts, all, you know, 18 lasting over a year, Tomoaki Honma has finally won a G1 match, beating Ishii with a Kakeshi. I don't know whether that means we're going to see Ishii and Honma probably for the NEVER title within the next few shows. But yeah, finally we have somebody that isn't on 0 points in a competition. Oh my word. Literally, I saw the news, I was like, what? This can't be true. But either way, that result technically doesn't even matter because neither of them were in contention. As it stands, Okada tops the block at 14 points. And only, arguably only Nakamura can actually, oh no, Nakamura and Goto can catch him. But the thing you have to take into account is if Goto and Nakamura both win, I think that will mean Nakamura will go through because he would have beaten both of them. Goto has beaten Okada, and Okada hasn't won any of them. So, in essence, I mean, technically Goto might have a chance, but it's more likely that it will be between Okada and Nakamura. So, pretty much, your two main event matches for this coming weekend are going to be the ones that decide who goes through to the final.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, very surprised that the streak has finally been broken. You know, Hanma getting that big win and in Kurikin nonetheless. So, you know, wouldn't surprise me if Ishii wants another rematch at some point, probably within the next tour, or unless have some sort of interaction in the finals.
Yeah, because they've obviously still got to announce the rest of that card, because I don't think there's going to be only four matches.
But,
just a feeling.
By the way, I didn't watch today's show. I only saw a couple of GIFs, and I don't know what happened between Makabe and Ibushi, but Makabe just beat the crap out of Ibushi for whatever reason. Like, he gave him a really hard punch after a match, and he beat him up like he stole something. It was pretty brutal.
Very. Wow. Somebody. That's sort of like heel tactics, but I don't know. Either way, so then, sticking with Japan, Dragon Gate Japan had Scandal Gate. Nothing huge happened here at the Kurikan Hall show, other than arguably actually in terms of matches, the only big thing happened was the main event, the losing team disbands match. And unsurprisingly, sort of as we predicted, the Millennials have to split up. Flamita apparently got unmasked during the thing, and Matt Blanky took advantage of that with Naruki Doi getting an inside cradle. And eventually it was T-Hawk that got pinned last by Yamato with Galalia. So in terms of what came out of it, which actually does lead up to previews later on, but I might as well mention it here. We now have basically Punch Tominaga, I think, pinned Tozawa in the tag match on this show. And Punch said, I want a shot at the belt. And Tozawa was saying, you must mean the, what's the comedy belt again? Open the Iwari gate?
Yeah.
And Punch Tominaga was like, nope. The one that matters, the Brave Gate one. So Tozawa defends against Super Shisa, which was already planned, but now Punch Tominaga has been added into it to a freeway. Then for the Triangle Gate titles, Chima, Don Fuji, and Gamma defend against T-Hawk, Aita, and Big R. So I guess T-Hawk and Aita can still stay together as long as they're with Big R. Or something. Masato Yoshino defends the Dreamgate title. Is that still missing? Do we know or not?
I still haven't read any updates about it, but I'm assuming they have like the replacement belt ready, at least.
I guess we'll find out this weekend. Yoshino defends against Shingo Takagi, and then the twist. So they've just had this losing team disbands match. And uh, I'm just going to get the notes. Yeah, Naruki Doi produced or suggested another match. So as if it wasn't good enough to get rid of one tag team, we're now going to be getting rid of another. Because it's going to be a 5-on-5 between all five members of Mad Blanky versus all five members of the Jimmies. And one team is losing. They were sort of hinting that this would be happening at the next Currican Hall show next month. And the Rookie Doi said, no, next week, not next month. So, yeah, three title matches and one tag and one team that has been there for quite a few number of years is going to be gone. I mean, I hope it isn't the Jimmies, because what happens to Dolphin? That's what I want to know. Please let the Dolphin live. That's what I'm saying. So now we get to AAA and Triple Mania 23. Oh, wow. And sort of not in a good way. I did manage to catch this. We won't do a full review, because I don't want to make you suffer. It's sort of like a Fantastic Four thing, although it was better than that. So the opening match saw Dinastia, Drago, Guia Kong, and Pimpinella Escalata beat Daga, Mamba, Mini Psycho Clown, and Sexy Star. Apparently, from the people that are actually in attendance, from the guys over at the Cubs fan blog, who, you know, they go in person sort of thing. Didn't get as a great reception, and it wasn't getting a great reception on social media, because at least on the US feed that I was catching, or the international feed, I guess, the sound problems were going on throughout the show, which is a shame, because by the end of the show, they were getting some very good stuff. Los Villanos, Villano 3, 4, and 5, beat the clowns, Monster, Murder, and Psycho Clown. Bloody Pepe Casas. When he came out, I thought he just got out of the retirement home. It's like, you know, he's 82. I looked into this. He's 82. Why is he only retired now as a referee?
Well, the last couple of years, he hasn't been doing that many shows. Yeah. He only does like some of the major shows. But yeah, he should have been like retired several years back, but I mean, I don't mind.
Villano 3 and 5 wore their masks for the match. That, you know, they've lost their masks in fights before, but they basically, you know, asked for permission from the authorities to let them be masked for this time, and you know, they gave way. So on the condition, obviously, that once the match was done, they unmask again. Yeah, you could sort of see that the Villanos were sort of like 50-50 and 50 towards 60 years old. Villano 4 apparently snuck in a foul on Psycho Clown, which apparently annoyed the other Villanos. Even though, you know, apparently the doing bad things as the heel tag team is not the right thing, even in a retirement match. Anyway. So then we have the Trios title match, which all of a sudden, apparently, during the week became a cage match, which was very Ultima X cage match, because the belts were sort of hanging from a metal scaffold in the center of the ring, which of course meant that somebody tall like Angelico could literally just ruin the match and just jump up and probably grab the titles off the hook himself. So I don't know what happened there. Chessman apparently got a knock to his knee landing badly, being knocked off the side of a cage into tables. Averno eventually grabbed the belts and or grabbed one of the three belts anyway, which was enough to declare them the winners and, you know, still champions. But yeah, that was, there were some nice spots in it, but it was still a bit of a mess. Then the 30th anniversary match for Blue Demon Jr., teaming up with La Parca to beat El Macias and Electroshock. The most surprising thing was El Macias' entrance gear. It was sort of a cross, like a Doctor Who thing and a gimp suit. I don't know what that was about. I mean, it was awesome, the thing. The match was sort of something that you probably see on Lucha Underground, which, considering it's supposed to be the biggest pay-per-view of the year, awkward. But then we got to sort of the two saving graces for this show. First off, Alberto beating Brian Cage, with Brian Cage getting his head shaved. This was a very good match. Basically, because, did you see any pictures of this on social media, Sandro?
I saw a little bit. Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Brian Cage and his crew came out with t-shirts saying, "Vote Donald Trump." And the great thing is, they absolutely hated the shit out of him. Oh, my word.
That's a great way to get people to hate you.
Yeah. But there were some, you know, very good spots. It went on sort of longer than I thought. Obviously, you had Tirantes, who I guess is the heel referee. The Nick Patrick, if you will. But eventually got the armbar on in, you know, what was a very good match. And then even afterwards, after Cage getting shaved, got slammed and then laid out under the Mexican flag. Sort of similar to how Cage laid out Patron at one of the last shows with the American flag over, sort of thing. And this is the thing I forgot to mention at the start, and I didn't even realize that all these shows are sponsored. The entire show was just like a Mission Impossible showcase. It was like using all the music at the start and at the end. I was like, Mission Impossible is better than this, because Mission Impossible doesn't have audio problems. But yeah, for Mission Impossible, I guess to tie into it, and yeah, Simon Pegg was as annoying there, mind wipe, as well. Hint. Or wink, wink, in joke, whatever. So, Mr. Sizz comes down on a wire. I guess because he's trying to be that scene from Mission Impossible 1. Possibly. And then Ray's outfit. It sort of seems, it seemed like a cross between, like, the actual Greek god Icarus, the Greek myth sort of Icarus thing, and Batman, because of the pointy ears.
Some people were saying it was Birdman from that somewhat recent movie.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it is. I was going to say Falcon, you know, from Captain America, but
yeah,
come to think of it, with the color and everything, it was very reminiscent of Birdman to some extent as well. So who knows? These guys had a very good match. Really good. The crowd were, apparently the crowd weren't entirely into it during the, in the live event anyway. Mr. Sizz worked heel for the entire match. You know, basically going on everybody, fueling the rumors and whatever. But eventually it was, it was a Mysterio Mystica that gave Mysterio the win. So once this was done, Pentagon Jr., Averno, and Joe Lida came out, attacked both men for no reason, complete with staple gun spots and even sort of unmasking Mystices for a moment. But then they sort of, Mysterio and Mystices saw them off and sent them away. Ray offers a handshake. Mystices just basically spat in his face and turns heel, despite... This is like a Big Show thing. He's turned heel and face in the space of God knows how many minutes in this one bit alone. And I'll get to the really good bit in a minute. So, yeah, spits in his face, turns heel, says he was embracing the boos, you know, embracing the hate sort of thing. Angry that the fans were supporting Mysterio, you know, the guy that's just come in over the guy that just came in a little bit before because he got fired. And then, and this is the twist, challenged Ray to a mask v mask match at the next show in October, which I believe has it going sort of, I don't know if it's the same day, but I think it's the same weekend as Bound for Glory. So of course they were saying that, fueling it, saying contact your cable providers. Get us back on here again. With the way that a lot of people responded to it, that probably won't be happening. Because the technical problems have been... There's been technical problems for the last few Triple Manias, isn't there? Even when it's just been on iPay-per-view.
Okay. First off, the Viano Psycho Circus match. I said it last week. This match was going to be bad. For one, Viano 3 suffered a stroke this past year. So I don't understand why they wanted to allow him to wrestle. I knew that was going to be a bad match because the... you know, Viano 3 and 5 are not... are very mobile in the ring. Viano 4 can still go at certain points. But definitely with the age differences between the two teams, there was just no way this match could work. Now, the Trios titles match, I hate it when they do overbooking on certain matches for big shows. And I think this was like the second year in a row, because I don't remember if it was last year or the year prior, where they did something similar to this. Yeah, I remember we discussed it on one of the previous shows when they did something similar to this. I hate it when they overbook a stipulation match. There's no reason to have a cage match and then put a ladder match on top of that. It is so ridiculous. Glad to hear that the last two matches saved the show. I don't know about what you said about the crowd not being into the main event, but from what I've read and from people that were there, they were hot for that main event.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it was audio. I'm pretty sure it was the audio problems on the feed.
The person that's obviously on the report here for the Cubs fans was there.
Yeah, he was there.
So, but yeah. I could even tell from the pay-per-view feed that the crowd seemed to be into it, so I'm sort of surprised that that came through. But this is where I need to bring up... Something making weird noise there. Don't know what that was. I'm being contacted by somebody, probably. It got to a point... that basically Conan came in with the Rudos. Then they started showing a video package for the pay-per-view. And then Conan's in the ring cutting a promo. You can still hear Hugo Savinovich sort of translating it for the American audience. And then it says the pay-per-view is now over. So it literally felt like, you know, Tony Schiavone saying, we're out of time, we'll see you next week. Which was one of the big problems, because as it turned out, after it went off the air, what it happened was Conan was offering a place in La Sociedad, which Mr. C's rejected, saying that he wants to be, you know, a solo heel and wants to go on his own. So Mr. C's walks out, but then took a Perros del Mal shirt from somebody in the crowd, I guess, put it on, and then joined the Rudos in attacking Ray before, you know, they all finally got dragged away. So the thing is he with them? Is he not? I think this might explain why they didn't show it on the pay-per-view, because people would have got a nastier taste anyway. It just seems, you know, it's the DJ Hyde method, as I previously called it. Overbooking. Serious overbooking.
Well, the funny thing is what's left of the Perros del Mal are under the society umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much, you know, in cahoots. They always love to do this during the big shows, where after a certain main event, and it depends if there's a big angle involving two individuals, they always send the heels to attack the babyface and pretty much gang on the babyface, beat the crap out of them. That is the typical, I guess, the typical recipe when it comes to AAA. And it's been going on for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so predictable and boring at the same time. As far as the mask match, I don't see it happening that quickly in October. I'm pretty sure they'll probably say for next year's Triple Mania. Whether or not they'll actually do it, I don't know. Because they always tease any kind of mask match or mask care or whatever. They always love to tease that for any TV taping. And it doesn't matter for what company it is.
Mm-hmm.
What time did the pay-per-view ended? Do you recall what time it actually ended?
Started at 7, but I think it ended at like 9:45. And I think it was like built, it was advertised on the feed that I saw for like 3.5 hours. Yeah. That's how long they were given on the slot, I guess.
Well, then that doesn't make sense, because it's supposed to end at the top of the hour. But if that was the case, then I think somebody must have accidentally hit the switch or something, because that doesn't make sense. Because I know on the Mexican pay-per-view feed, that was shown. That entire segment was shown until the show actually ended. So, yeah, I think somebody must have messed up on the production truck there.
The U.S. pay-per-view feed got...
Yeah. apparently Hugo's mic was so messed up throughout the entire match. The entire show, excuse me.
Yeah.
That Matt Strike was pretty much the only guy talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's very unfortunate.
it was, you know, when people was talking, like even the bits when we had the tributes, because we had... both Perro Aguero Jr. and Hector Garza get put in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And, you know, even people on Twitter were like, Striker, just for this bit, hand your headset over to Hugo so he can talk.
Yeah, I saw a couple of tweets about that. I kind of want to feel bad for AAA, but at the same time, I can't, simply because of the booking of that whole situation.
And because it's happened before.
Yeah, it's happened before. And the whole audio problems that they had, I mean, I can't really blame everybody, you know, crapping on that pay-per-view. I can't. And of course, you know, AAA responded. The English brand, excuse me, they responded saying that they apologize and all that stuff. This show was also offered via iPay-per-view, and I didn't really hear any problems on that feed as well. So I think that's probably a first. I know the Mexican pay-per-view feed went off without any problems. So I'm going to try to find that version if I can. I think somebody probably put it up on YouTube somewhere. But it's very unfortunate about the whole thing. And it's somewhat of a repeat from one of the other shows, if you recall, when they tried the Ustream and they couldn't get the feed at all. And it was so bad, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate. But I'm pretty sure, you know, Conan will go on his podcast, try to defend it, saying that, oh, no, it's not overbooking. We know what we're doing. It's everything planned ahead and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's going to try to defend it to death or whatever. But yeah, unfortunately, with the exception of the last two matches, the whole show was a dud.
Yeah.
And I can't see anybody wanting to buy the next show if they'll have another pay-per-view in North America.
Yeah. It's probably going to get to that point. Yeah, I certainly agree with you there. I kept, you know, saying, call your cable provider. And it's like, because of how well the show went, Hugo, I don't honestly think that will probably happen. The really crazy thing is that first match, the sound was absolutely... It took a few seconds to get rid of the Mexican commentary and then actually go to the English commentary. But that one worked fine. Ever since that first match finished, whatever they did in terms of on the soundboard or whatever, or unplugging the sockets, or I don't know what problem it was, it didn't work. So it went well for a time and then just didn't. So
I'm very curious if they did any testing with the audio equipment. I'm assuming they had to.
You'd have thought so.
Yeah. Maybe they should have done like a test stream. You know, something like a pre-show.
Yeah. But then it's on pay-per-view, so you can't really do a pre-show on pay-per-view, can you?
Well, they could have offered it for like free online.
True.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't work on Ustream.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it probably wouldn't work on YouTube.
So, we'll leave it there. I didn't think we'd go through segments, but yeah, we've still got a lot to cover in terms of results, so I think we can pull this out into three segments, Andro. So, when we come back, we've got more results to cover, including some big, big stuff from CZW. So, we'll be back for the second part of this week's Whole Indie Show right after this.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? Some they may go for cocaine. I'm sure that if...
Unplugged. CT.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers? The truth? You can't handle the truth.
Every month on the SNS Radio Network, check out the podcast that deals with conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unknown. check out Unplugged CT with Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, and Bronxzilla. You have questions, we have answers. Keep an open mind, because the truth is out there.
The truth shall set you free.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. Just a reminder for you to listen to Sunday Night Showdown every pay-per-view Sunday, as I'll be joined by my broadcast partner, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, Harmony Boom Boom Jackson, and Mark the Shark DiCarlo, as we provide the best pay-per-view coverage of the WWE. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, every pay-per-view Sunday. Sunday Night Showdown, your home for WWE pay-per-view coverage.
Hey everybody, this is the Bronx Father to tell you about the Get in the Zone podcast every weekend right here on the SNS Radio Network with myself, my co-host Anthony Farley, and bringing you the TNA recap.
No, God, please, no, no!
L Train. We also cover SmackDown, some news, and you might even get moments like this.
Oh, my brother! Testify!
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Wow, that wasn't half bad.
What the f***?
To quote... See, since I'm imitating D-Von tonight, I might as well run the gamut of black wrestlers and go with Booker T. Tell me I did not just... hear that.
It's one of those things to edit. To edit or not to edit? That is the question.
For the reaction to Anthony's giving, you cannot edit this one.
Oh, shit. Anthony's dead. He's just done. Oh, we might as well just end the show right now. So... check out the archive every single weekend and drop us an email anytime, snsgetinthezone@gmail.com, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Duncan, you dig that?
I think I'm going crazy.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W., and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mind Wipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
to see me through all my sins. There were times in my life when I was going insane, trying to walk through.
And welcome back to the second part of this week's Whole Indie Show with Ashley and Sandro, and more results to come here. So we'll start off with some Emerge results. Thanks to Dave Dynasty for sending these over to our Facebook page. So this is Emerge 7, the Downtown Throwdown from Columbus, Indiana, from this past Saturday. The opening match saw Diamond Cut Ace Perry beat Beautiful Brett Havoc and the Blue-Eyed Devil Trip Cassidy in a three-way match. Then conniving Kenneth James victorious over Have Mercy Percy Davis. Zodiac beat the high-flying Italian Vinnie Balzano. Then Team Bad, no, not that one, beat Team IOU to defend the Emerge tag titles. Team BAD, I guess we can call them, rather than Team Bad. I guess it's different. Game Boy Aaron Anarchy beat Cole Radrick. Then Warfare Jeremy Hadley defended the Emerge Outbreak title successfully against Diablo Loco. And then the Emerge Wrestling Champ, the main attraction Donnie Idol, and Ricky Ruckus beat the Mastodon JD Mariani and the Midwest Monster Jacob Johns with Nikki in, I guess, your main event. No title on the line. It was just a tag team extravaganza and all that. So, again, thanks to Dave for sending them in. We also got results from American Championship Entertainment. They had a show on Saturday as well in Wellington, New Jersey, entitled Anarchy. Sadly, it wasn't in the UK, but whatever. Started off with the King of New York, EC Negro, beating CK Cross. Apparently, CK Cross, it's the first time he's been in ACE, American Championship Entertainment, since like 2008. So it's a bit of a surprise sort of return. I'm not sure if it's a return from retirement like the one at Beyond Wrestling was a few weeks back, but either way. In somewhat of a big surprise, Sonny Kiss with his mentor, Rick Cataldo, and that might give you a clue as to Sonny's gimmick, beat the defending champion Azrael and all-star Lou Torres, pinning Torres after a 450 bombs away. So Sonny Kiss is the new Fight for Flight champion. Then Chris Reyes beat Astro Morales after a distraction from Stockade on the arena floor. And afterwards, Stockade attacked Morales with a steel chair. Then the tag champs for ACE, Mike Donovan and Ricky Richards, beat Mike Lewis Enterprises, Absolute Alvin, and the elite athlete Mike Orlando, with Donovan countering one of Orlando's fireman's carries into a crucifix pin. Then Maya and the feline of Lucha Libre, Black Zemis, beat YF and Andrew Tiny Johnson. Janice pinned Johnson after Enziguri. However, afterwards, YF attacked Johnson. And then Mike Lewis and the Enterprise came out to the ring and helped YF lay in the strikes. And then Lewis handed YF a Relic of the Past, a Hollywood Inc. t-shirt, so YF is now part of the Mike Lewis Enterprise in Hollywood. Next, the Devil's Outlaw Stockade, victorious over Chris Romano with a Southpaw Lariat. Stockade, understandably, after what happened earlier, berated Morales on the mic after the match. And just as Astro attempted to come down the ramp to try and confront him, Stockade's protege, Chris Reyes, came down and brawled with Morales to the back. Then in the Ace heavyweight title match, Vince Steele beat TJ Marconi, but by DQ after TJ Marconi gave a bit of a swing with the championship belt to Vince Steele, so Marconi retains. And then the main event had EC3 beat Ricky Reyes after the 1%. Afterwards, EC3 declared himself to be the best and sexiest champion inside the arena. Except one person disagreed. And of course, that was Sonny Kiss. So then they both tried to do a twerk off, which EC failed miserably at, so lost. And then, to the shock of the crowd, Sonny laid a big kiss on EC3. There you go. That happened. Crazy stuff there. Marvelous USA. Again, like I think, it was either the FSW or FBW show from a month or so back. Once again, I have to thank NYWC Rules on YouTube, because if it wasn't for him actually going to the show and saying the results on his YouTube page, I don't think anybody knows what happened in this show. Thank you, YouTuber. The result saw Sumi Sakai beat Penelope Ford. Mike Werner beat Talon. Rick Cataldo and Eddie McQueen victorious over Deonna Purrazzo and Brittany Blake. Then DJ Hyde and Rory Gulak beat the Dub Boys of Nate Carter and David McCall. You'll hear their names a bit later, but not as boys, shall we say. Then Mick Foley's introduced and stays at ringside for the next match, which was Rex Lawless versus Cheeseburger. Lawless was going to win with heel tactics, I think, with a foreign object or something, or I think trying to go for a low blow or something. But Foley interfered using a pink socko, I guess, and Cheeseburger did manage to get the win. So Cheeseburger, unofficially, I guess, with Mick Foley, beats Rick Lawless. Then we had Renee Michelle and Davian beat Sumi Sakai and Willow Nightingale. Patrick Clark beat David Starr and Leo Rush. And from what a lot of people have said, Patrick did a pretty good showing there. And the main event saw Shigusa Nagayo and Papadon defeat Takumi Iroha and Takagi Watanabe. Next, CWF Mid-Atlantic's Bring It On. The night started with Brad Attitude addressing that his goal was to raise the prestige of the heavyweight championship and defend it against the best in the world, and said that one of the best in the world is here. And to legitimize the championship and himself as champion, he wanted Trevor Lee tonight. That's a big main event there, definitely. So then back on to the main card. Eric Royal beat Zane Riley. Michael the Fury McAllister with Sis beat Chris Lee. After Sis blasted Chris with her dog collar chain. Then in the quarterfinals of the Johnny Weaver Memorial Cup, I guess it's quarterfinals, Roy Wilkins with Coach Gemini beat Darius Lockhart, and the Army of One Marcellus King victorious over Aaron Biggs. So they go to the final four, which will be in a few weeks. Then Rick Converse addressed the crowd for the first time since losing to Eric Royal in December, saying that the soft Rick Converse died that night, and when he returned to action, it will be to reclaim his throne. Then Jesse Adler and Andrew Everett beat Eric Andrews and Nick Richards of the Riot. And the main event saw Brad Attitude and Trevor Lee having to go into sudden death overtime after they went to the full 30-minute time limit. But it was Brad Attitude that eventually got the win in that sudden death overtime. And the crowd liked it, I guess. Mainly because, you know, not very often that you get time limits reached in matches, I will say. Their next show is next weekend with the other two quarterfinals in the Johnny Weaver Memorial Cup. And then obviously the finals, I think, the following week after that, so in a fortnight. Next, Excellence Pro Wrestling had Excellence Live in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. The show opened with the first of the Accelerator round robin matches They did it in sort of, rather than doing it sort of blocked throughout the night, they sort of did it together, because Blind Rage beat Rembrandt Lewis, followed by Ken Broadway beating Rembrandt Lewis. I guess Rembrandt did his block right there. Then in non-round robin action, we had assistant chefs Moo Blackmon and Jimmy Blaze beat Danger Jameson and Alex Mason. Then in the final of the Block A accelerators, Ken Broadway was victorious over Blind Rage, so Ken Broadway getting two wins there. Then we had Mark Quinn beating Smiley in the first of the Block B round robins. Dan Champion beating Mark Quinn in another of the round robins. Then outside of that round robin stuff, we had JFC and The Boar successfully beating Nick the Silent Assassin and Oleg the Usurper. And then the main event saw Smiley beat Dan Champion. So I think with that, the one that I sort of, I guess, moves up is Ken Broadway, because he got two wins compared to Quen, Champion, and Smiley and Brian Rage, who all got one. So basically, Rembrandt Lewis lost out because he was the only one that didn't win that night. But yeah, their next show, I believe, is September 12th with Tessa Blanchard making her debut. Now we come to AAW, Bound by Hate, Bourbon Street. And this obviously was a big show, as we previously mentioned last week, due to the passing of Jim Lynham. And before the show, they had a 10-bell salute in his honor. And then the other co-owner, Danny Daniels, announced that... Did they announce that this was going to be an annual thing, or is it going to be a one-off next year, Sandro, do you know?
I'm not really sure, but I would assume it would be an annual thing.
It would, yeah, it would only be fitting. There is going to be a two-day tournament in Jim's honor next August. I don't know, as I say, I don't know if it's annual, but I'm more than likely there. That's going to be the big thing. And then Dan Lawrence leads a toast. Then we get into the card itself. Opening with Candice LeRae beating Allison Kay with the vagina plex. Are we sure that's what we want to call it? Uterus plex? I know I'm taking a coin out of Ethan Page there, but it's for the kids. Come on. ACH beat DJ Zema Ryan with a 450 splash. Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett beat Zero Gravity when Matt Fitchett rolled up Brett Kakaya. Silas Young beat Tommaso Ciampa, though it is worth mentioning he did hold on to the bottom rope. So some heelish tactics going on there. Then the Heritage title was on the line with Lewis Linden retaining against Christian Faith with a Dragon Sleeper. Understandably, Gregory Iron is less than impressed. Then Heidi Lovelace challenges Allison Kay for next month's show, but is interrupted by the Hooligans and Buck Nasty, which then revolves into a six-man tag, or I guess a six-person mixed tag, with the Hooligans and Buck Nasty beating OI4K and Heidi Lovelace. Then Johnny Gargano beat Matt Sydal with the Gargano Escape. And the main event, Street Fight, the Bourbon Street Fight, I guess you could call it. Tyson Dukes and Matt Cage, I guess Team Scarlet, if you will, beat Eddie Kingston and Shane Hollister when Dukes pinned Kingston after putting him through a table with a Death Valley driver. And then they announced that Trevor Lee would be part of the next Bourbon Street show, which I'm guessing that's the next show in September, is it? More than likely.
Yep.
It should be good. Overall, looks like a strong card, doing Jim proud, definitely. So good to see. So then when we come to CZW, and again, this is going to be sort of extended thoughts because I did manage to catch this on Saturday. So I guess we'll start off with the intermission matches. Even though these were shown during... Yeah, these were shown during the intermission of the iPay-per-view feed that I caught. But obviously they happened beforehand for the live crowd. So we started off with Sozio versus Ryan Gallione. With the stipulations being if Sozio wins, he gets 5 minutes alone with Trooper Audubon. So, understandably, Gallione got hated. Sozio, I guess, sort of got loved, but yeah, his entrances are really nice and whatever. And it was a pretty good match, considering Gallione's only been around for a little bit, really, in at least in CZW terms. And it was a pretty good match, I will say. But eventually it was, I think, a few mistakes that Gallione made, which allowed Sozio to, I think it was a roll-up or hit his finisher. But yeah, Sozio got the win. So therefore, Sozio would next took on Trooper Audubon. With the stipulation again being Sozio pins Audubon, the front disband. So, Trooper, as soon as he gets into the match, immediately brings in a kendo stick. Because, you know, he wasn't going to be undefended. So Trooper goes to hit Sozio. And Sozio basically just easily catches it in his hand. And then proceeded to smack him over the head with it, I think about 10 times. In the space of about a minute. So basically the pre-show had more violence in it than New Height. Which is surprising. So yeah, after about a minute, Audubon was basically laid out and sort of WrestleMania 7 style. Sozio just put his foot on Trooper's chest. Three counts. Sozio wins. And the front, thankfully, finally, I'd say, is gone. Because without Sozio being their leader, that was sort of a group that didn't need to exist, if I'm being honest. It was just like they're there to fill the numbers. Then the other match as part of the pre-show saw JT Dunn versus Joey Janela. And I don't know whether this was sort of... I don't know how this went because, like, halfway through, this turned from sort of a standard sort of wrestling match into a sort of shoot fight because JT Dunn was sort of bleeding. So I guess we were going hard or something on this one. Stiff punches, stiff chops, whatever. Dunn got the win with death by elbow, but yeah, it's... I guess it's done going back to his old CZW-style ways, I guess, compared to what we've seen him in previously and beyond, because I don't think he's got busted open in beyond yet, has he? I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
So, then we get to the iPay-per-view itself. So, the ring announcer... Emil starts making his opening address, but Gulak's music starts up and he comes out. Not surprising. Because when you hear the music, he normally shows up. So he addresses what happened last month with the Gulaks trying to basically set him on fire and whatever, and called them out. Goes dark. Some sort of, like, weird sort of wub... A mix between, like, 80s... Yeah, no, you know the music that, that that they used for like Rocky IV when Rocky was training in the snow.
Yeah.
It was basically like that. That's the music. And the Gulaks come out, now renamed as the Amazing Gulaks. Throwing glitter and whatever. I don't know what this is, but it's awesome. Within a few hours, amazingly, Gage manages to bust open Rory Gulak immediately. So yeah, no Mondo anymore. The crowd called him Rory Gulak last month, so they just stuck with it. So then all of a sudden, somebody jumps the barrier and attacks Rory on the outside while Gage is going after Gulak. And it turns out, it's Biff Busick. Biff's back, bitches. So they announce that, or it's implied, they don't really announce it, but it's confirmed by the end of the night anyway, that Down With The Sickness will see the Amazing Gulaks of Drew and Rory take on Biff Busick and Nick Gage. That should be awesome. As long as it's done right. Knowing the overbooking that DJ Hyde could do, there'll always be a little bit of trepidation there. Then after this, they decided to put the first of the Marvelous Puroresu USA showcase matches, which killed the crowd immensely. Because that crowd, some of that, I think, like, you know, like there was the Cesaro section on Raw a few weeks back? CZW had a Nick Gage section. And if it didn't involve Nick Gage, they didn't really care. Which is a bit of a shame because... And it was a bit of a shame for this match placement because... the four talents here put on a pretty good match. And it was Penelope Ford and Takumi Iroha getting the win over Sumi Sakai and Brittany Blake. Sumi sort of being a great sort of heel character sort of thing. Like, not like the female version of the Young Bucks, but it's really like a, I don't care what, sort of like Mistresses, but not done stupidly like Triple H did. I don't know, but Sumi is... We need more Sumi in CZW. That's all I'm saying. So then we had the CZW Honorary Junior Heavyweight title match with Greg Excellent defending against Super Cop Dick Justice with Dan Barry in tow. I don't know what's going on with Bill Carr. He wasn't there. It's a shame. Now... Are you going to say, Sandra?
Yeah, I was going to say that Bill Carr is hurt. He's got a... I think there's something wrong with his ankle, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he hurt it at Beyond then?
I don't remember if it was at Beyond or the recent PWG show.
Ah, okay.
It was one of those two shows.
It was something. So this match was... very much the comedy match, which of course the Nick Gage fans absolutely shat on. And to be honest, quite a lot of the crowd did, and I think quite a lot of the it was funny, but it just went on too long. Eventually it got to a point that both guys were down because they did so much running, they were exhausted and were just laid out on the mat. And the referee called for a double knockout because neither answered the 10 count or double count out. So there is no winner. And then Dick Justice and Greg got into something like a pushing sort of slanging match. And Dick was walking out claiming it's not over. So apparently this is a thing. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. So then we had the second of the Marvelous Showcase matches with Dub Security / the Dub Boys, Nate Carter and David McCall, taking on Takagi Watanabe and Shigusa Nagayo. And the great thing I have to mention here is Carter and McCall have more talent than Alexander James put together. Or no, I guess individually they have more talent than Alexander James. Because these, Nate and David put on a very good match Takagi and Shigusa, sorry. I misread it. Shigusa paying her respects, and they actually sort of, they shook hands with Takagi, but Shigusa hugged both of Dub Security afterwards. You know, they did that good a job. And, you know, it was a very good match. You know, Shigusa was dishing out chops that could probably hurt where Sandra is, even from Voorhees, New Jersey. Did you hear any loud noises on Saturday?
No, not really.
It might not have carried that far. Either way, Dub Security did very well, even though it was... when Watanabe and Nagayo getting the win, with Watanabe hitting an STO. Then the world title was on the line. Frankie Picard versus Tim Donst. And then, this is proof I don't know what Donst's gimmick is anymore. He's like walking up to the camera as he makes his ring entrance. And he's clearly mouthing, you know, Joe Gacy. And then spits on the belt. But the crowd are still cheering for him because he's Tim Donst. And they're not really cheering for Frankie Picard because I don't know how many of the CZW fans go to the Dojo War shows. So, who knows. Pretty good match. Picard gets a good showing. And... eventually, it's Donst who gets the win with the Rings of Saturn submission. So Donst, you know, grabs the belt again. Then goes back to Picard after the match is over, locks on the Ring of Saturn again. But then Gacy hits the ring, wanting to fight Donst, but Donst is over the barrier and practically hightailing out the building. And Gacy said he isn't coming for a wrestling match. He's just there to kick Donst's ass. Then it's announced that the Chris Cash Memorial Ladder Match for Down With The Sickness is going to be AR Fox versus Speedball Mike Bailey. Which, that match, we've seen that match before this year, haven't we? Did Beyond have it?
No, you're thinking of Fox and Sherman.
No, but Fox and Bailey gone at it?
Oh yeah, they had it before. They had it. I think it might have been last year, or at some point in the spring, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but it does happen.
I remember it happening. I think this year somewhere, possibly Beyond, possibly. Would they actually no? Was Bailey at the WrestleMania stuff that Fox did?
I don't think he was around in Cali.
I can't remember.
Anyways, yeah, they have wrestled before.
Yeah, so that should be a really good one. And then before intermission, they had Danny Havoc versus Jake Crist in a barbed wire madness death match. Because at least one of the two matches had to be a death match. And mainly because, you know, Dave Crist doesn't do death matches anymore. Jake is like, screw it. So, yeah, quite a lot of weapon spots here, which were sort of very well done. It wasn't sort of like stupid weapon stuff. It was just some very well-crafted stuff. Obviously, you know, can't remember the referee, Dan Yost, was there with sort of the clippers and everything to cut the barbed wire off and everything, the barbs. But it was Jake Chris getting the win via a tombstone on a barbed wire carpet stripped board and a little bit of interference from Dave Christ. This then sort of leads into, at least after intermission, Dave Christ versus Connor Claxton in a standard match, which after all the deathmatch trials Claxton has been through, it's sort of weird to see. But they have a very good match, these two. Real back and forth sort of stuff. But Dave Christ gets the win with the groin kick. And attacks Connor, I think, afterwards further. But Havoc and... I think it was Havoc and Moore. I don't know if 13 was out or whatever. But I only saw three of them, including Claxton there. So, yeah, OI4K seems to be on top, at least, for that one. And then we come to the main event. The street fight between Pepper Parks and Matt Tremont. Pepper Parks with Cherry Bomb Black G's in tow. And this was a pretty good street fight, I will say. Especially when you take into account Cherry Bomb went through tables. The fight went all around the arena, onto the chairs, onto the barrier, onto the barricade around the outside. Basically, anything and everything pretty much tried to be used that wasn't sort of a deathmatch weapon. And it was Tremont getting the win with the Death Valley Driver. And it was over. Until. So Tremont gets the mic and basically says, look, I've taken him out the way, and he was the one that was causing the problems between me and you, Black G's, so I think it's only fair you get on back out here and let me take you on for the belt again. With no shenanigans or anything. So, Black G's decides to basically shoot on the people that are hating him, which I technically includes us because he went off at podcasters. You're talking about the podcast. I've not said anything negative about Black G's. I mean, I will be in a couple of minutes, but I haven't said too much. I'm negative about you, sir. I think, you know, it's you've done a pretty good job as champion. My only feeling is that you were possibly champion for a bit too long, judging by what happened here. So, yeah, basically, you know, Black G's were saying no. And another great line that he threw out is like, every time you fans boo me, my dick gets so much harder. That's why I can't hate you, Black G's, because that's brilliant. So Tremont basically says, well, it's clearly all about money for you, so if you win, you get my pay. Or if, whatever it was, you win, or you get my pay anyway, you know, as long as I get, you know, the belt sort of thing. So, of course, G's swear by the money, accepts. So now we have your unofficial main event for the CCW World title, Tremont versus Black G's, which was a good match for the what it was. It was only like a 5-10 minute sort of thing. It wasn't a big long thing. And after a powerbomb, we have a new world champion. Bulldozer Matt Tremont is your new CZW World Heavyweight Champion. Now, I don't want to say Black... Yeah, actually, you know, I don't want to go... I was going to go hard on G's, saying he shouldn't have held... He held the belt on for a little bit too long. But in all honesty, Tremont should have had that belt this time last year. You know, rather than all the Sozio stuff that we got. And what we got from the Biff Busick, Drew Gulak feud, which, don't get me wrong, was good. But if we're honest, and I know you'd agree with me, Sandro, Tremont should have had this belt before August the 8th, 2015.
I don't remember what was going on at that time, so I can't really comment on that. But I don't know. I don't remember last year, to be honest. So,
either way, what I'm trying to say is Tremont should have had the belt before now, because he had momentum. What he's really had momentum for the last couple of years. Even when Masada had the belt, he was a credible champion. If they'd have given it to him, I would say. I don't know. Anyway, it was great to see him have the belt. But then, of course, during the celebration, where quite a few of the roster actually came out and congratulated Tremont, Gage shows up and nearly come to blows. But, yeah, Gage is there saying it's my belt sort of thing, which makes me think they're probably going to go one-on-one at Cage of Death. Which isn't a surprise, because Tremont called out Gage, 2 years ago? At the, Tournament of Death 13 or 12? When Tremont challenged Gage to a match, after he got out of prison. Which they still haven't done. My only fear then, though, is Nick Gage wins it and then CZW just turns back into what it was. Because don't get me wrong, I know people like deathmatch wrestling, but CZW has done a lot in the past few years to try and change its image. It doesn't want to be seen just as a promotion where all you see is people busting themselves over the heads with light tubes and nearly bleeding to death because there's that much blood. They've tried to make it, and this arguably is due to people like Drew Gulak being part of the Dojo Wars Wrestling School, or the CZW Academy, I guess you call it, about the new angle that it's taken. And I just feel I don't want it to just go back to death matches and hardcore stuff for the sake of it. Because I'm just worried that enough fans will want to see more of the old stuff because Gage is going to be there. And DJ Hyde will just revert it back to, violent cells. We'll just have every match sort of be an ultra-violent match. Then again, of course, they probably wouldn't get the clearance, would they, for the skate zone. More than likely. Because I think the only reason why Tournament of Death has to be done on DJ Hardy's farm is, probably health and safety stuff, is it?
Yeah, maybe.
Either way, I'm pleased for Tremont. Black G's was a great champion. I'm actually intrigued whether G's gets his rematch at Down with the Sickness, because that would be a good match. And I don't know what happens with G's after that. I'm not sure. But, I guess this is all leading up to... I think they announced that Tangled Web is their first pay-per-view, isn't it, out of the two? In October. So, we'll start looking forward to that anyway. So, that's all for the results for this week. When we come back for the final part, we will talk previews for this week. So we got some G1 Climax, we've got some Dragon Gate, we've got some Warriors of Wrestling, some PWX, some Evolve, some Shikara, and of course the shows from the Wrestling Geek Fest we talked about last week. We'll cover all that in the final part of this week's Whole Indie Show.
If you trained, say your prayers, and ate your vitamins, then you'll love the Hulkamania Chronicles. Sean Beckerman, host of Beyond the Bell, your pro wrestling nostalgia podcast, breaks down the history and career of the legendary Hall of Famer, the immortal Hulk Hogan. Each edition covers a different era in the history of the Hulkster as we relive our childhood hero. From the beginning of Hulkamania in the mid-80s and the birth of WrestleMania, through the challenging times of the steroid trial, all the way to his jump to WCW and the formation of Hollywood Hogan and the New World Order, and then his return to the WWF leading in to the Hall of Fame. This edition covers it all. You can catch the Hulkamania Chronicles exclusively on Beyond the Bell here on the SNS Radio Network, brother.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. And I want to take a moment to let you guys know that personally, I appreciate the support that we've had here on the SNS Radio Network over the years. And I'm here to tell you about a new way that you can help us out and show your support for the SNS Radio Network. We now have a way for you to donate to the SNS Radio Network. If you go to the SNSRadioNetwork.com main page, scroll down. There is now a donate button on the page. Now, I'm not saying you have to donate to us, but your donation is very appreciated as we do a lot of hard work on the SNS Radio Network. Spend a lot of our time and our own money to make sure that you guys have entertaining podcasts and live shows on the SNS Radio Network. So to those who have donated so far, on behalf of the SNS Radio Network, we appreciate you and your continued support. And for those that will donate in the future, again, we thank you for your support of the SNS Radio Network. www.snsradionetwork.com, providing you with free podcasts since 2010. Are you a fan of the SNS Radio Network? Want to keep up with what's going on with all the personalities and radio shows on the SNS Network? Well, let me tell you how. You can check out the Facebook group over at www.facebook.com/groups/SNS Radio Network. On Twitter, follow us at SNS Radio Network. You can follow me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. These are just a few ways to keep up with all the happenings going on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey there, listeners of the SNS Radio Network, my wife here. Now, as most of you listeners know, I happen to promote my own albums every now and again, and the latest one is now available. Yes, Dream Sphere. The musical journey that takes you through the realm of fantasy is now available at mindwipestudios.info. 14 tracks plus a couple of bonus tracks, all available for the neat little price of $10 US. $10 US or A. So check it out today. It's got some great tracks, including Witchwood, Dream Sphere, Lights of Dragons, and many, many more. Dream Sphere, available at mindwipestudios.info.
Good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of this week's Holt Indie Show with Sandra and Ashley. So, previews. Time to start. We'll start with New Japan. And the climax of the G1 climax with the three consecutive days at Sumo Hall to mark the, I guess technically it's the 25th anniversary, even though the first one was 24 years ago. Probably. I don't know. In terms of the stuff, I guess this is the only point when we could really do predictions here, Sandro. So... For Friday, we got Block A, which is Toru Yano versus Bad Luck Fale, Katsuyori Shibata versus Doc Gallows, Hiroshi Tenzan versus Naito, Togi Makabe versus Kota Ibushi, and the main event, the one that matters in terms of the tournament, AJ Styles versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. You see... I'd like to see AJ win it this time, but I just feel they'll probably give it to Tanahashi. What do you think, Sandra?
Looking at the last standings, it looks like they might be going with their original plan, so I'm going to say Nakamura.
No, the other break I'm saying. The other block. AJ and Tanahashi.
Crap. I just put AJ.
Yeah. Either way, I think I for the other block, I think I agree with you there. And Nakamura, I think Nakamura is going to go over Okada just because. I mean, technically, what if Okada wins the tournament? What happens to the whole briefcase? Because that hasn't happened before, has it? You know, the champion has won the tournament. So the whole right to cash in for the title really doesn't exist.
Yeah, they'll think of something.
Yeah. I think it will probably be... I think either way, in terms of the actual final, I think Nakamura is going over. Because I think Okada Nakamura would be a very good, Wrestle Kingdom show. Because they've sort of teased at the chaos sort of stuff before. Because what was it? Was it this year? Or last year when it was Was it the New Japan Cup? I think. When Nakamura won it and everybody thought, right, he's going to go for the world title. And then instead he went for the... he went for the IC title. Because Tanahashi had it, I think. Was that this past year? Was that like February?
No, that was last year.
It was the previous one. But either way, it sort of, you know, it was taboo for Chaos to go after each other sort of thing. But this time I think Nakamura's feeling a little bit more, I don't know, Freddie Mercury or Michael Jackson, and he's going to be up to it. In terms of some of the other matches, though, that are taking part of that stuff, Friday, outside of the tournament stuff, we've got the Ring of Honor match, arguably, with Red Dragon and Michael Elgin versus the Young Bucks and Cody Hall, which should be a nice one. Then in the other one, the Young Bucks take on Jay White and Dave Finley Jr. Be interesting to see who gets pinned on that one. And also Red Dragon versus Komatsu and Tanaka. In terms of the actual other matches in Block B, Honma Yujiro, you never know if Honma's going to get a second win, which would be super crazy. Anderson will probably beat Kojima, I think. Elgin versus Ishii, I don't even want to predict. Goto will win, even though technically it won't even matter because of what happens with Nakamura and Okada, but anyway. And then actually on the final day itself, in the afternoon on Sunday, Bushi's return match, as he teams up with Ryosuke Taguchi and Mascara Dorada to take on Shota Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu and Tiger Mask 4. The Young Bucks defend the IWGP Junior Tag Belts against Red Dragon. And Kushida defends the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Belt against Ricochet. Along with God knows how much else that could be added. Possibly an IC title match? You think? Well, no, sorry. It's the Never Openweight stuff with Honma and... Honma and Ishii, isn't it? At the minute. So, that's from there. Sticking with Japan, Dragon Gate have got their Dangerous Gate show, which is this Sunday as well. So, wow. Is that usual? For Dragon Gate to go up against the G1 Climax final? Or not?
Every other show does it. It's not really...
Oh, right. They all go for certain weekends. It's just like they go crazy. Okay. It was just clarifying. Some of the key matches on this one, we got the Brave Gate Freeway, as I mentioned before, with Akira Tozawa defending against Super Shisa and Punch Tominaga. In a tag match, Masaki Mochizuki and BB Hulk face Dragon Kid and Flamita. Chima Don Fugi and Gamma defend the Triangle Gate titles against T-Hawk, Aita and Big R. Then Mad Blanky versus the Jimmies in the 5-on-5 losing unit disbands survival elimination match. And Masato Yoshino defending the Open the Dream Gate title against Shingo Takagi. Moving back over the Pacific, Warriors of Wrestling have got their next show, Hit the Lights, at Fun Station USA in Staten Island. Tickets range from $20 to $25. On the card, we have Michael Massacre versus Chris Steeler. A couple of sort of preview matches for the King of New York show next month. We've got Logan Black versus J. George Estrella. And a six-man tag with Jose and Absolutely Latino. The Absolutely Latino tag team and teaming up with Jose. They'll be taking on the Hostile Collective of Cannon, Nazir, and Just Neff. Although I think with Nazir injured, I don't know whether that will actually be happening. Or at least they said he was injured in the last set of notes, like I just mentioned a couple of segments ago. So, They're giving Divas a chance as well as Bonesaw Jesse Brooks will face Brooke Danielle. In a grudge match, Joey B faces off against Jason Karloff. For the No Limits title, Joey Ace defends against Darius Carter. Style and Finesse defend the tag belts against Benjamin Quinn and former guest TJ Marconi. And Rude Boy Riley defends the heavyweight title against Shelton Benjamin. Plus, there will also be an autograph signing by Gunner at the event as well. Next up, PWX. Their next show, Too Close for Comfort, this Sunday at the Main Cellar City Club in Hickory, North Carolina. Tickets range from $10 to $40 with a bell time of 4 p.m. On this card, confirmed so far, there might be a few other matches, I'm not sure. A triple threat with Chip Day, Mason Maddox, and Elijah Evans the fourth. In a rematch from the last show, or you know, from a few shows back, Super Kick World, it will be Anthony Henry with Amber Long taking on Tommaso Ciampa. Zane Riley faces Chuck Taylor, which I don't know whether this is the retirement tour or not. The really confusing thing is Chikara says that Chuck Taylor is like Keith Richards, so that could mean that Chuck Taylor isn't retiring, but does it, but doesn't it, but does it? Who knows? Country Jacked will face the HYP of Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee. Dalton Castle will be facing Ethan Case. Matt Sydal takes on Cedric Alexander. And John Skyler defends the PWX heavyweight title against Joe Black. Next we go to Evolve. And I guess this is the this is week three of August is Crazy in New York. So Evolve 47 this Saturday. Slightly earlier time than usual of 6 p.m. at La Boom in Woodside in Queens. Will be available live at WWNLive.com. So on this card, we've got Biff Busick versus Tracy Williams, Trent Barretta versus Ray Horace, Chris Hero taking on Speedball Mike Bailey. In a rematch from the last event at in Queens, Drew Gulak will take on Rich Swann. It'll be Johnny Gargano and Ethan Page in an Anything Goes match. And Timothy Thatcher defends the Evolve Championship, but not the Drangate USA Championship, against Zack Sabre Jr. That's really getting confusing. Either way. Also on that match, the Premier Athlete brand of Tony Nese and Caleb Conley have an open challenge. So we'll have to see who answers that. Then Evolve 48... on August the 16th at the Sportatorium in Deer Park, New York, on Sunday. Again, you can catch this on WWNLive.com. So for this match, Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams will team up to take on Speedball Mike Bailey and Ray Horace. In a rematch from Evolve 41, it will be Ethan Page versus Rich Swann. In a special challenge match, Johnny Gargano faces a mystery opponent picked by Ethan Page. I'm wondering whether it could be Ricochet or whether it could be... It says somebody from his past. And I don't know whether it could be Chuck Taylor, but I'm not sure because I'm not sure whether he's booked for the Chikara stuff. We'll have to look at that in a minute. Former partners collide as Trent Barretta takes on Caleb Conley. In a battle of the best, as they're describing it, it'll be Chris Hero versus Zack Sabre Jr. So that'll be very European, that match. And then the final showdown, a non-title, no-holds-barred match, as Timothy Thatcher faces Biff Busick. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if that suddenly changes to a title match, just for the heck of it. Next, Wrestling Geek Fest. We'll bring the Saturday stuff up first, because if you are listening to this, there probably is still just about enough time for you to if you are in the area, to get down there to go. Go to WrestlingGeekFest.com for all the ticket info. Saturday afternoon, as part of the convention itself, they're hosting a Legends of the Future event, which is some of the talents from the AEW Academy and the CZW Academy and some of the other local indie promotion wrestling schools are going to be having a show with a bell time of 1 p.m., that one. And then in the evening will be the Saturday Night Spectacular, starting at 7, featuring Madison Rayne versus Mia Yim, the Nation of Intoxication of Lucky 13, Devon Moore, and Danny Havoc, taking on the Chris Brothers of RA4K and a mystery partner. Tim Donst faces Paul London, and main event sees Eddie Kingston taking on Moose. Also set to appear, the Gladiators, Brute and Massacre, Marion Fontaine, the El Paso Kid, and Judge Hugo Black from Oldie Wrestling. Dick Justice is apparently on security duty, so I'm sort of wondering whether he could be Dalton Castle's opponent, because that would be awesome. Leva Bates will also be showing up for the show, I believe, and Vader Scott. I would not object to Leva Bates versus Vader Scott, because I don't know who to cheer for if that happened. Sandro's got his moment for AIW. If that happened, that would be my moment for Wrestling Geek Fest. I wouldn't know what the hell to do. Speaking of AIW, Battle of the Sexes 2 will be happening on the Friday night of a 7 p.m. bell time. Tickets are available on the door, so if I do manage to get this up in time and you're already listening to this part of the podcast and you were like seriously in the area, you might be able to get there. But you know, we hyped it last week, so you probably bought your tickets anyway, hopefully. So the match is set here. We've got Gregory Iron versus Antisocial. To Infinity and Beyond versus Sugar and Spice, which I believe possibly is for the tag titles. No confirmation yet. Athena faces a mystery opponent. Crazy Mary Dobson takes on Madman Pondo. Vader Scott versus Ricky Shane Page. If that's for the absolute title, I would love it. Lewis Linden versus Heidi Lovelace. Mia Yim versus Eddie Kingston. Allison Kay versus Ethan Page. I was nearly getting the two mixed together. That would have been awkward. And the main event, Johnny Gargano versus Candice LeRae. Perhaps the prequel to what will happen at Smash Wrestling next week. Who knows? And then finally, Shikara have got a show at the Wrestle Factory this Sunday, entitled The Good Life in Philadelphia, which is obviously the home of the Wrestle Factory. Bell time is 7 p.m. Only 5 matches for this, I believe, basically because it's a small little place, and you know, they've only got really the setup to put on a few matches. So with this one, we've got NRG versus Lucas Calhoun and Missile Assault Man. Odo the Usurper taking on Prakash Sabar. The Proletariat Boar Moldova faces Argus. Los Ice Creams will be up against Frightmare and Blind Rage. And for the Grand Championship, Hala Wicked will be going one-on-one with Amasis. I'm sensing there that will probably see Hala Wicked retain. But you never know. Could be wrong. Could be huge surprises and whatever. But we'll have to see. So, with that, that's all the previews. And that is all from us for this week. Make sure you check out all the other shows here on the SNS Radio Network. New Unplugged, I believe, should be up this weekend, I think, because I did see a post from Jeff on the Facebook page that they were going to be doing some stuff, possibly on the sort of conspiracy theory stuff as well, which would be nice. Also, all the others, like Sticks and Flicks, Get in the Zone, Elite Force Podcast, all the archives and links can be found on the SNS Radio Network website, which is www.snsradionetwork.com. If you want to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways. You can contact us via the Facebook page, which you can find at SNS The Whole Indie Show. You can also find us on the Twitters, because it's plural or something. The main account is at TWIS_podcast, where we post up, you know, all the stuff and everything on matches, clips, you know, things you should catch and everything. If you want to follow us personally for whatever, even though I'm not very active on it, my Twitter handle is @AshIsMyNameUK. Sandro is at SandroTWIS. And if you want to email us with news results or want to get in contact with us or whatever, feel free to do so. The email is wholeindie@snsradionetwork.com. That's wholeindie@snsradionetwork.com. So there we go, Sandro. Thinking about it, you're going to have a very busy week next weekend, which we're going to have to preview next week.
Yeah, I might be going to the Evolve show on Saturday because that lineup looks really good. So I might be going to that show. And yeah, next week's going to be ridiculously busy as well.
So what shows are you now going to next week?
I might be going to the Thursday Fabi Burrow show, Friday House of Glory, and Saturday NXT.
You're going to be exhausted.
Yeah, I might be.
And to think that following week, we've got all that to talk about, and then preview Bola. And then the week after that, we've got a preview King of Trios. And then the week after that, we die of exhaustion. Oh, damn it, you wrestling companies. You spoil us. You were like Ferrero Rocher, Mr. Ambassador, you are spoiling us. That's a reference that only about two people will get. But if you do, thank you. Song of the Night. Because clearly this is what's happening next week. It's the group called... Yeah, it's weird that we're ending a show with Hello, but we are technically, because it's Hello's original version of New York Groove. None of that, you know, the Kiss version from a few years later. It's the original one, the one from GTA 4, which is, you know, why I like it so much. So, that being said, this was Ashley, that was Sandro. This has been your weekly slice of indie goodness. And we'll see you next week, everybody, when we, you know, crawl into a hole and die of exhaustion. Bye, everyone.
To the left and to the right, a tunnel stone. I'm so wrong.